On behalf of Challenge Ministries International, this is Pastor Gene Howard bringing you the message tonight. We believe that the cross stands at the very center of all that God has ever done, is doing today, or will ever do. Challenge presents the message of the cross, the message of the crucified, resurrected, and coming again, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Father God, you said that we must enter into your presence with clean hands and a pure heart. Holy Spirit, you know us. You know the condition of our heart, our every motive, every thought we entertain. We come to you tonight in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is in his name that we come before you, asking to reveal any hidden works of darkness in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, of all iniquities, transgressions, and sins, any attitudes, presumptions, or judgments whereby we have involved ourselves with or become part of any sinful activities, attitudes, or actions. Purge us and purify us, O Lord. Forgive us where we have faltered and failed you. Cleanse us, Lord Jesus, with your blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary, that we may enter, O Lord, unto the presence of you, Holy God, to make known our petitions. And now, Holy Spirit, anoint us now to pray for this nation and the world. Father God, we come asking before you now in the name of Jesus Christ, asking you to render ineffective all tactics employed by Satan against your kingdom and your people here on this earth. We ask that you override and overrule all governmental edicts that are advancing Satan's agenda. Please put into place in leadership positions in the government systems, in the corporate world, and in the church, those individuals that you can use to neutralize the power and influence of any satanic agents who may be holding positions of authority, not only in America, Father, but all over the world. Father God, we ask you to give us leadership this year in our nation and around the world who have your Holy Ghost anointing and possess the drive and spirit likened to the prophets Elijah, Jeremiah, and the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist. We ask Father God to abolish all forms of satanic engineered religious systems operative in the world today, neutralize and reduce their influence on today's society, neutralize the effect that the Antichrists are having in the world today. Father God, we ask to restore those who have backslidden and fallen and grown cold in their serving you and have walked away from the faith. Restore them, we pray. We ask God to bring about a Holy Ghost world revival that will change the direction of mankind and cause all nations, tribes, and peoples to seek you and recognize their sinful ways and acknowledge you, Holy God, and repent and give reverence to you and your word that you are Holy God and Jesus Christ is their way, the truth, and the life and their means to salvation. And now, O Lord, please hear this prayer and anoint me, Holy Spirit, to teach this word tonight that all would gain a clearer understanding of the sanctification process. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you've been keeping up with the studies, a couple of Wednesdays ago I spoke on how we are born with a sin nature and how that sin nature was passed on to us from Adam and Eve, generation after generation after generation. Then we looked at how one could be born again by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to look at the sanctification process. The sanctification process. Salvation is an event in which one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as their Lord and Savior. Then they are born again. In John chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Sanctification is a process by which one who has been born again becomes more like our Lord and Savior, which is God's will for our lives. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 tells us that, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Make no mistake about it, my friend. Prior to being born again, you and I were a child of the devil and had the nature of the devil within us. As we discovered in lesson one, it was entitled Born to Sinner, we found that we were all born with a sin nature and as such were children of Satan. Speaking of those in his day, whom Jesus recognized to be the children of the devil, he said this in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And again, having been born again, we have become new creatures or new creation, and as such, we are to now yield ourselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, which comes to indwell each and every one who has been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So as a new creation, as one has been born again, and one as an act of their own will yields themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, the process of sanctification begins. Old habits, practices, and desires start progressively losing their influence in the life of a believer. And as a believer yields himself to the influence of the Holy Spirit indwelling them, their life starts to change. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, the sanctification process. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I come before your very presence. And I'm asking, Lord, Father God, anoint me with your Holy Spirit to speak these words tonight with clarity in such a way, Father God, that all who hear it will be able to understand. And Father, bless this word tonight as it is being taught. Bless the people, Father God, who hear this word. Give them understanding, Father God, of this sanctification process which we're going to be looking at. Bless this message now, Father, as it goes forth. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I was saying before the prayer, that we have become a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And that as that new creation, as one has been born again, and as an act of our will, that we yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this sanctification process, when it begins, old habits, old practices, desires, start progressively losing their influence in the life of the believer, as a believer yields himself to the influence of the Holy Spirit indwelling him. So, how does that process work? How does that happen? Well, once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have been involving yourself with those things which are sin. And then it grieves you and it grieves the Holy Spirit. And in the process of this, you realize, hey, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever it may have been that you're doing. And you realize, I've got to let that go out of my life. And you're going to find out that a lot of things just fall by the wayside and you're not even thinking about it. But because as a new creation with the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of you. You finally realize that I don't think the Father would be happy with me continuing doing this particular sin. Well, if we're honest with ourselves, our Father isn't happy with us in doing any sin, regardless of how you view it as huge, large, indifferent, or small. Sin is sin. So these old habits, these old practices, these desires, they start to lose their influence and influence upon you as a believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, God's Word tells us, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" When we became born again, the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell you. And this body which you now live in, and which the Holy Spirit lives in, it is the temple of God. And God tells us, we are not our own. That this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is living in us, and we are no longer our own. In other words, our heart's desire should be that of doing the Father's will, not our own will. God will not violate your free will. We, as an act of our will, choose freely to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And He tells us this in His Word. So you, as an individual, as an act of your free will, choose to freely submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We all have that ability to choose. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had that ability. Without a sin nature prior to their fall, God gave them the ability to choose and act on their own free will. And they did. They didn't have a sin nature, yet they acted on their will and chose to partake of that tree in which God had forbade them not to do it. And as an act of their will, they chose to sin against Holy God. And that's before sin ever entered into the world. And we have that same opportunity every day. Exercise our will to submit unto the Holy God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we exercise our will to sin. It's not that you have a sin nature anymore. That nature was crucified in Christ. But we have free will, and we can use that free will to sin. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." You see, it's all volitional. We have to choose to submit to His Word, to the influence of the Holy Spirit, and in so doing, the process of sanctification continues in our lives. The battlefield is in the mind, folks. That's where the battle is, in the mind. Satan attacks the mind with thoughts, with suggestions, just as he did to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. If you as a believer receive the thoughts and suggestions that Satan offers you, those thoughts and those suggestions will hinder the process of sanctification and will always result in some loss to one degree or the other for the believer. Thus the Word of God says to every believer, found in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we have to learn how to take control of those thoughts. Those thoughts that are not from God, those thoughts, those suggestions that go against the Word of God and against the will of God will get you in trouble because they are coming from none other than Satan himself, trying to get you to sin, trying to get you to become involved in things that he knows causes the Christian to sin. In the mind, the same tactics that he used on Jesus Christ, the same tactics that he used on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Those same tactics he uses on you. Suggestions of the mind. Thoughts. And we have to take those thoughts captive. Not receive them. But take them to the Lord Jesus Christ and rebuke them when they come. Recognizing that these thoughts are not from God. That's why it's so important, child of God, that you know what the Word of God says. And the best way to find out what the Word of God says is involve yourself with Bible studies, such as tonight, a Bible study, and personally reading your Word, reading that Word of God. The Word of God speaks to the believer about the thought life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And this is a good scripture to hide in your heart. In other words, memorize this scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The process of sanctification, simply stated, is this. It is that process by which one who has been born again, that's you, and who truly desires to obey God and thus become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, as an act of their will, choose to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. They choose to become disciples by studying God's Word, obeying God's Word, and permitting the Holy Spirit of God to lead and to guide them day by day. Let's look for a moment at Romans chapter 12. I want to start reading in verse 1 and we'll go through to verse 2. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He goes on in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How would you explain Romans 12:2? What does it mean to you? How would you explain that to someone? How would you explain Romans 12, verse 2? In your own words, how would you explain that to someone? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 instructs us that as Christians, we are not to live as the unsaved do in this world. That we are not to allow the world's standards to be our standards, but rather that by allowing the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, transform our thinking and lifestyles and become examples of what Christians ought to be so that we can properly serve the Lord wherever He may place us. That's one way of describing what Romans 12:2 means. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. How would you explain that verse in your own words? Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And one way you may describe this verse, or if you were going to explain it to someone else, that 2 Corinthians 5:17 assures us that those who have been born again have become and are consistently becoming new creatures, and as this process of sanctification takes place in our lives, everything in our life changes so that we no longer choose to do those sinful activities that we once loved doing, but rather we now choose to live an entirely different lifestyle, one that is pleasing to God. So how do you know if something you're doing is a sinful activity? Well, the Holy Spirit will speak to it and you will know within yourself that this is not right and it's grieving the Holy Spirit of God.
then you have a decision. Will I obey God? Will I continue exercising my will to sin? That's the bottom line of it all, folks, right there. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. Go on down to verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How would you explain 1 Corinthians 6:19? If someone were to ask you, what does that verse mean? How would you explain it? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19 assures us that as a purchased possession by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our bodies are now a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. We are now the property of the Lord God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who can and will empower us to live godly, holy lives, as we yield to His divine influence in our lives. That's why it's important to get along with God. Hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. How would you explain to someone Romans chapter 6, verse 13? Romans 6, 13. Let's take a look at that. I'm going to back up and read Romans 6, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says of Romans chapter 6, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How would you explain that to someone? Well, Romans 6:13 informs us that we are not to allow the enemy, Satan, to utilize our bodily members or mind in thoughts and actions that are sinful. Rather, we are to yield ourselves to God as those who have been brought to the life in Jesus Christ from the deadness of our past sins, and therefore we are to yield our minds and bodily members to our Heavenly Father for His use in our lives and His kingdom. Don't allow Satan to utilize our bodily members or our minds or thoughts. In other words, don't think about those things that are worldly, ungodly, that Satan tries to influence you with. Don't be involved with those things that are sin. Don't involve your members in things that are sin. That's your sexual organs, your mind, your thoughts. Don't allow your hands, your legs run to mischief, stealing. Those are not the things which characterize godliness and holiness from God's people. Remember, that old deadness of our past lifestyle of sin will try to resurrect its head, okay? But you got to exercise your will over that and yield your minds and your bodily members to the Heavenly Father for use in His kingdom. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How would you explain that in your own words? Philippians 2, 5 instructs us that we are to allow the Holy Spirit to develop the mind of Christ in us, which when allowed to happen, will then assist us in submitting ourselves to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in submission to the will of our Heavenly Father in all things. Let this mind be in us. What mind? The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit will develop the mind of Christ in us when we allow it to happen, and will assist us in submitting ourselves to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, in submitting to the will of our Father in all things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I want to back up a few verses there. I'm going to start at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and we'll read down to verse 6. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh,
we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having, verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, what does all that mean? It means, verse, if you were going to, in your own words, tell me what verse 10 means, or verse, chapter, 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 5. If you were going to tell me what that verse means, that verse is telling the believer to take control of all their thinking in such a way as to destroy every mental consideration or thought that in any way opposes the work of Christ in us as a believer, thereby bringing our entire thought life into submission and into obedience and to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. This can only be done by the enablement and empowerment of the Holy Spirit as we submit and surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, Pastor Gene, are you telling me that I'm to take every thought captive? No, I'm not telling you that. God's Word is telling you that. In other words, if the thought comes and you know it's not from God, don't entertain it. Don't entertain that thought. But you, in the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke that thought. Take it captive. In other words, if you receive a thought that you know is not from Christ, rebuke that thought. Tell it, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke this thought. I will not receive it. There's power in that statement I just said, folks. And that's how we are to live our life. But too many times, we clutter our minds with all kinds of stuff and never understand and realize that our mind is being cluttered by unholy, ungodly thoughts that we never take captive. So God is telling us, take every thought captive. Every thought. And you can do it. It becomes a process of life living to where you know and you do and you exercise that. And you may, let's say you're sitting in church and the most unholy, ungodly, perverse thought comes to your mind. Yes, it happens, folks. It happens. Where does that thought come from? It doesn't come from God. It's that thought and it's that suggestion from Satan. But what are you going to do with that thought? You best take that thought captive. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will not receive this thought. I reject this thought. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke it and cast it out. That's how you do that. If you think about that thought, pretty soon you're going to act mentally and then maybe physically from just the thought, that suggestion. You got to learn how to take them captive. And this is where you start. Right there, just like God says. We are to take every thought captive. Because Satan is going to be bombarding you with these thoughts, with these suggestions. And if you do not stop them, they're going to come in and start the destruction process. It reminds me, and some of you may have heard this story before, but a lot of my life, 29 years worth, was in the Navy. Most of my tours of duty were on aircraft carriers, working the flight deck in squadrons. And we had, and I don't know what they have now, but I knew back then, they had a system called IFF. An easy way to remember that was, is you friend or is you foe? So every morning, before launch, before the first launch, there would be a set of codes put into each aircraft that identified a transponder would shoot out signals, and that way the radar that was receiving those signals could recognize that's one of our planes. That's one of our planes. But if a plane approached into the area and it was transponding the wrong signal, then that plane would probably be shot down because it's an enemy aircraft coming in. So that's how it was identified back in those days, many years ago. But it's almost like I could correlate that with this word of God here in 1st in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, where it says, cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's like an enemy aircraft. Those thoughts from Satan coming in is like an enemy aircraft. And if you're sensitive with the Holy Spirit, it's like that IFF transponding. And if it doesn't marry up, if it's not the same, then you know that's an enemy aircraft. Well, it's almost like that with these thoughts that are coming in. They don't line up with the Word of God. So they're enemy, and they need to be shot down. Or in this case, taken captive through the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and using the Word of Jesus Christ against those thoughts. Well, folks, that's about the end of this lesson. I hope you have gleaned a little bit about what it means to be sanctified. We were once sinners, now born again. Now the sanctification process begins, and this sanctification process will end when you go to glory. But until then, we are continually to become sanctified daily, daily, daily. You may fail. This area may be weak. You may fail. But keep up the faith. Keep going. If you fail, get back up. Tell God, hey, I failed here. Help me grow strong in this area. Identify my weaknesses. Help me overcome those. That's part of the sanctification process, folks. It's not a sin to have a thought. It's a sin when you allow that thought to come in and you entertain it. Well, until we meet again, may God bless you and yours real good. It's been Pastor Gene. I hope this message will somehow enlighten you into the Word of God and how you can live a life into the sanctification process, and how you can become sanctified and live in this world that is full of sin around about us. It's possible, folks. If it wasn't possible, God would not have put it in His Word. And it is possible for you to live a life and take every thought captive. It's an act of obedience, and it's work on your part, but get yourself fine-tuned and honed in to using that Word of God against those enemy thoughts that's coming in. It's Pastor Gene. Until we meet again, God bless you and yours real good. Good night.